Haggai, Chapter 2. Lord God, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we finish the book of Haggai today, beginning in Chapter 2, Verse 1. It says, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. And so God speaks to the prophet once again, this time on October 17th. And here's the message in verse 2. Speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? And it did. Some of the older people who had been alive 70 years earlier and remembered the former temple before Babylon destroyed it, we're saying this new temple isn't anywhere as nice as the old one. Verse 4, but now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. They were not to get discouraged. You know, maybe this new temple, this rebuilt temple, isn't anything like the first one. But they're to continue. They're to keep working. God is with them. And God will help them finish what they started because it was his will for them to do it. And he's just trying to encourage them to persevere and not quit again, because that would not be good. Verse 5, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. He says, do not fear. And so by helping his people, God is fulfilling a promise that he made to them 800 years earlier when they first came out of Egypt. And we see from this that God never forgets a promise. 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And actually, Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, quotes this verse in connection with the judgment of the world at the second coming of Christ. In verse 7, he says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. And this is a preview of the coming of the Messiah. The desire of all nations refers to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prediction that he will come to his temple. And so God is saying, well, are you people who are working on this temple, you might not think it's worth the effort, but I'm telling you, this temple may not be much to look at right now, but one day my son is coming. And that's going to make this a special place. And at his first coming, Jesus did go to this temple. And he taught the people. He went to that temple many times. So they should keep that in mind. This temple they're building is the one the Messiah is going to come to. Verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. God could fill this temple or any other home with all sorts of valuables if he wanted to. It belongs to him. Verse 9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And so this second temple was actually a type of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the first temple was a type of the old Jewish religion. And that was nice and everything, but God is saying, the work which my son will accomplish on the cross right here in Jerusalem is going to far outweigh any work done in this temple or the previous temple. the work of redemption will be accomplished by my Son, and that will bring peace between me and sinners. Verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. And so about 2 months later, Haggai receives another message from God. Verse 11. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? And the priest answered, no. And they were right. Consecrated meat, by the way, was meat which God had, or which had been offered to God as a sacrifice. When it was offered to God, it became holy, and was only to be eaten by the priest, and was to be treated in a special way, because it had been offered to God. It was sanctified. It was holy. But it could not transfer its holiness to other food by physical contact. 13. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. And they were right on that too. If a person who was ceremonially unclean, say they touched a dead body, that made them ceremonially unclean in the Old Testament religion, and they couldn't do certain things, and they had to go through a series of purification washings. So if a person who was ceremonially unclean would touch holy meat, then according to the Old Testament law, that meat would no longer be holy. It would become defiled because they were defiled. The point is this. Uncleanness is transferred much easier than holiness. Verse 14. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. The Israelites were back in the Holy Land. But just as regular food wasn't made holy by simply touching holy food, they were not made holy just because they touched the holy ground. The only way to become holy is to consecrate oneself to the Lord. Just like the meat was consecrated to the Lord, that made it holy. The only way we can become holy is by consecrating ourselves to the Lord, not by touching somebody who is holy. I mean, if I'm living in sin, I haven't repented of my sin, I can rub shoulders with the holiest person in the world. That doesn't make me holy. It's an individual thing. It's a consecration thing. 15. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. And what he is saying is, he's saying, before you build one stone upon another in this temple, think about what I have said and what I'm about to say. 16. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. In other words, in the past, you haven't had a lot of produce. Do you remember that? And it's still that way. Your harvests haven't been very good lately. Verse 17, God says, I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. And so in past days, God sent bad weather. But his people had not caught on to the fact that God wasn't pleased with them. They had stopped building the temple. They had become indifferent toward God. And so God was sending all these messages to them saying, I'm not pleased with you. Verse 18, from this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. God is saying, think about this. From the time you came back to the Holy Land and started to lay the foundation of the temple until now, he says, I haven't blessed you much. And that was because their hearts had not been fully devoted to the Lord. 19. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, he says, I will bless you. And so what he is saying is that the consequences of their former lukewarmness towards God, those consequences were still with them. But things would start changing for the better because they were changing for the better. God responds to repentance. He responds to repentance, which shows itself in a turning from sin, in a turning to good works. That is true repentance. And God will react positively to that. 20, the word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. And so this was the second revelation given on the same day. 21, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judea, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and scatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his own brother, of his brother. And so God promises here to overthrow all the forces of evil which are opposed to his people, including in the New Testament days, the Church of Jesus Christ. 23. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. He says, I'm going to give you full authority, Zerubbabel. Thing to remember is this. Zerubbabel was a member of David's royal line, and therefore is a type of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the fulfillment of this prophecy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the son of David and the descendant of Zerubbabel, established the kingdom of God when he established the church, and that kingdom will last forever. And that is exactly what the angel Gabriel told Mary when he appeared to her and said, you're going to have a baby, and his name's going to be Jesus. The angel Gabriel, listen to this. Luke chapter 1, I'll leave you with this, verses 32 and 33. Concerning the child who was to be born, Gabriel said to Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And so, this verse in Haggai has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and continues to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who established the spiritual kingdom of heaven on earth, and it will never end. Okay. Until next time, when we get into the book of Zechariah, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.